Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There needs to be a concerted effort to address the systemic racism in our criminal justice system. And that requires a very clear agenda for retraining police officers, looking at ways to end
racial profiling,
finding more ways to really bring the disparities that stalk our country into high relief.
Are there any police listening to this show who will vote for a Democrat all the way down to a town kennel master? Are there any idiotic police left in America who still vote Democrat because they think that they are your friend? Do you have any idea what went on last night? Now, I know it's a holiday and most of America is asleep doing nothing. I get that. And I know that we've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme in such a short period of time. I know that we're living in an age of pure race warfare and demagoguery, thanks not solely to Barry Obama. But now look who's jumping into the breach. That vicious carpetbagger, Hillary Clinton, has the audacity to pretend she's an oppressed minority. And who does she choose to attack last night? The police, who are getting knocked off like bowling pins by criminals in the street who have been given dispensation by Barry and by this sick, twisted attorney general that we have. Going back to the last sick attorney general, who has basically said to the police, if you do your job and you arrest a criminal, we will arrest you. So now the thugs are shooting police through police car doors, beating cops up every time they're stopped. And now into the breach, there comes the progenitors of a new race warfare in America, Hillary Clinton and that creature from the Lower East Side of Manhattan, that thing. Bernie Sanders, I have a contempt for Bernie Sanders that you could only understand if you grew up where I grew up, and you know the type of lowlife he really is. I do. I read him from the first second he spritzed his way onto the stage. And of course, not so unexpectedly, the attacks have started from the Hillary camp, and they've dug up his past. And we will talk about Bernie Sanders' actual and overt anti-American, extensive communist past from the get-go, who this spritzer really is, and of course, Chairman Bernie Mao would be the greatest disaster to ever hit the United States of America. Now, the only reason he's gotten this far, as I said to you before, is because he was set up by the Clinton campaign as a boogeyman to make Hillary look centrist. I hope you understand that. He's not going to win. But he's there to make her look centrist compared to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have lasted 3 minutes. I want you to get that clear, get it through your head. But this kind of racism that is coming out of her mouth should indicate that any cop who ever votes for her, in fact, I don't know how any white person could vote for any Democrat ever again. This is a party of race hatred. Forget about John F. Kennedy Jr., whether it's Jr. or not. Forget about the Kennedys. Forget about that whole history of the Democrat Party when it once was for the little guy. The Democrat Party today has devolved into a party of class warfare, race warfare, you name it, pitting one group against the other. How could anyone who is listening to this program ever vote for a Democrat again is beyond me. But I watched the debate last night for 20 minutes. I could only take it. It was not really a debate. It was one commie trying to upstage another communist, anti-white bigotry spilling from their lips, from the white ruling class, of course, set up by that idiot moderator, Lester Holt, who is an embarrassment to the word journalism. Lester Holt is so bad, that's the guy who moderated the debate last night between Mrs. Marx and Mr. Lennon. Lester Holt made Sean Penn look like a Republican. And as I said, we've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme. All I watched were two nauseating ruling class whites pandering to minorities. And we're going to play some of the sound on the Savage Nation. It's sickening to listen to it, but you have to hear it. Because if you haven't made up your mind, I don't know how you could ever vote for a Democrat again. I don't understand it. So let's look to the stories that I found to be interesting that I put up on michaelsavage.com. And I'll give you my phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Please do not waste my time with the fake arguments going on amongst the talk crowd intelligentsia about the differentials between Trump and Cruz. I'm not going to fall into the sand trap. I will not become a shill of the Republican National Committee. Leave me alone. Save it for your blogs, okay? Save it for other radio shows that specialize in supporting Ted Cruz as though he's the savior of the universe. I will say it again since I opened up the door. Ted Cruz cannot win in a general election. He looks seedy. He looks like an oil can Harry. I've asked people about him who are not very political, people I run into who may know me. And I say, what do you think of Ted Cruz? You know what? I swear to God, this is what one of them said to me. I won't vote for him. He's not an American. I said, what do you mean he's not an American? No, I don't want to vote for a Hispanic for president. I heard that from a white person. Straight up. An unguarded commentary. Another one said he looks sneaky. Another one said he takes as much money from big business as all of them do. Who is he fooling? So I know about his wonderful credentials at Harvard. I get that. And I know that he says the right things for the talk show crowd. I get that as well. But to some people who really know what's going on and don't like Trump because he has New York values, that's a joke. Some people who really know, who are very conservative and fighting the fight for 20 years, have said Ted Cruz conservative? Ted Cruz, they said, is a Canadian who went to Harvard, who moved to Texas as a gerrymandered in a gerrymandered district and adopted a Texan accent. That's what they say about him. I want to talk instead about the big issue of racism and hatred in America on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And again, reiterating how we have gone under Barry Obama from I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme. So let's begin on michaelsavage.com on the top right from the New York Post. These are their headlines. How Obama has turned back the clock on race relations, New York Post. Gateway Pundit, youths, that's an acronym, you don't use the right word anymore, it's the word youths. Youths jump couple at D.C. Metro Station in latest knockout-style beating. The youths are all African-American, and the couple was white, bothering nobody. They got beaten to a pulp. Next story, female Al-Azhar professor says Allah allows Muslims to rape non-Muslim women. That's from Jihad Watch. We realize it's the religion of peace. We realize that we're not allowed to criticize Islam because it may offend Barack Obama. But do you know what just happened in England? Even liberal British Prime Minister David Cameron has said that Muslim immigrants to England who do not learn English could be deported. Mr. Obama, we hope you're listening. Because even Cameron knows what happens to a nation that permits the undigested tsunami of a foreign religion to penetrate a nation. As part of a plan designed to help Muslim immigrants integrate into British life and culture, isn't that interesting, the word culture? Now, who has been using culture for 21 years? Why, I think it was me. Prime Minister David Cameron announced $28 million in public funding for English language classes. But the plan comes with a strict caveat. Those immigrants could face deportation if they don't improve their English language skills within 5 years. Cameron wrote in an editorial in the London Times, "Yes, we have responsibilities to migrants, but they have responsibilities too." That's a shock. You mean they don't just come here to have children and get welfare and plan the overthrow of the nation? He said at the moment someone can move here with very basic English and there's no requirement to improve it over time. We will change that. We'll now say if you don't improve your fluency, that could affect your ability to stay in the UK. That's a shocker. That's a shocker. That's just a shocker. Now, if you are one of the fools who believes that we need refugees and immigrants, listen carefully to what I'm about to read to you. This came out from a business publication this morning, Joe Weisenthal, who I believe is a very liberal writer in Bloomberg Business, which is a very liberal publication. Are you ready for this? As the crash in commodities prices spreads economic woe across the developing world, Europe could face a wave of migration that will eclipse today's refugee crisis, says Klaus Schwab, executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. Look how many countries in Africa, for example, depend on the income from oil exports, Schwab said in an interview ahead of the WEF's 46th annual meeting. That's the Davos group. This is the world power, the economic power of the world. He said, now imagine 1 billion inhabitants. Imagine they all move north. I want you to think about that. Think about 1 billion Africans and Middle Easterners moving north. What do you think will happen to Europe? What do you think will happen to America unless we fight this migration by slamming our borders shut, building a cement wall that you can't get through without proper papers? I know that this is anathema to the communists listening to this show who believe in open borders. And most of the Swedish girls who were raped were believing in open borders. They were brainwashed in their Swedish schools. They didn't want to say one word against the migrants until they were touched, felt, raped over New Year's Eve. And of course, now they awaken to the fact that they are inviting their own demise through this invasion. You know, over the weekend, I got an email from a friend in San Francisco. He hangs around in the cafes a little bit. He's a very nice guy. He's a good friend of mine. And he said to me, well, there's a memorial tonight at one of the cafes for one of the guys got killed over the weekend. I said, when he got killed? I said, who is he? He said, a lifetime communist, 69 years old, lifetime anti-American communist, was standing on 9th and Market Street, downtown San Francisco, in the afternoon, when a black man walked up, punched him in the mouth for no reason, his head hit a curb, and he died. I said, that's disgusting. That's horrible. Has it changed his policies? He said, I doubt it. In fact, at the eulogy today, they probably are screaming for more openness and more fighting against the racism of America. I don't know what to say. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to happen, ladies and gentlemen. What has to happen, rather, for this country to awaken before it's absolutely impossible to awaken. But this is just the beginning of the show. I haven't yet gotten into the brainwashing that's going on to your children, what they're doing to your children in the colleges. Portland Community College is going to devote an entire month to whiteness shaming. Whiteness shaming, where white children are going to have to apologize for their race. We have moved from a call for racial equality to a South African-style purging of the white race in America. And you have to understand how this happens. It starts amongst the so-called intelligentsia in the colleges. It then spreads to the streets. And if you don't see the interlocking relationship between the white communists on tenure and what is happening to our nation, maybe I can help you. Maybe I can ask you to read Government Zero and study the references. I know you liberals like references. Maybe you can understand that you're digging your own grave and throwing the lime in to go with it. I don't know. I actually do think that most of... Yeah, and I've got to back up a bit. You know, it's easy to bash liberals. We've all done it. We've heard it for years. I went to an art opening Saturday in San Francisco in the rain. I wanted to get out of the house. Most liberals are nice people. If you look at them, they're very nice people. They dress nice. They smell nice. They talk nice. They're not bad people. They just want to get along with everybody. But they don't understand that that's not how the real world works. I study the birds of San Francisco Bay. And I'll tell you something about the survival of the fittest in a minute when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. From I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme in one generation. Now we've devolved to the point where police who do their job are called racists. Thugs are elevated to the White House level. Colleges are devoting months to whiteness shaming. All because of 7 years of Barry. And into the breach there steps a street communist from New York named Bernie Sanders to make Hillary look centrist. Bob on WJR, you love Bernie Sanders. Tell us why.
Because he's the only one that's going to break up the big banks. And the big banks, They're out to destroy this country. Look what they did. We were at war. We were at war against the Islamo-fascists, and they want to kill us and destroy us. And what do the big banks do? They ran our economy into the ground. And
Hold on. You just said three. Hold on. I know you're a lifelong leftist, that you're entitled to be. It's a free country. Are you aware of Bernie Sanders' positions?
Yeah, I listened to the debate. I listened to everything he said.
Do you know what he actually wants to do, other than what you heard during the Potemkin debate last night?
See what he's done.
In the 1980s, your boy Sanders regularly called for public takeovers of various businesses, including utilities, the oil industry, and big businesses. Your boy Sanders advocated seizing money from corporations and from one of America's richest families. Do you know that he met with the Sandinistas and said that the revolution would be peaceful in Nicaragua and that people loved them? Do you know that he glorified the Castros, who are butchers? Do you know any of this?
No, I don't know, but I really don't care because the...
Well, that's right, because your mind is made up. You're a typical ignoramus. I get it.
With people, murderers...
In other words, you're like a fish, a catfish at the bottom of the mud, and the hook came down with a worm on it and you bit, and you don't know that there's even a hook on the worm, do you?
Conversation from the big banks, just like a communism.
What do you hate about? Wait a minute. What do you know about big banks? What do you have? An ATM card with $300 in it? What do you mean by big banks?
You think we would have won World War II if those big?
Wait. Stop with the screaming. What do you mean by big banks? Define what Bernie's going to do to give you an extra dollar in your pocket.
The other one, the one that went out a bit. Where?
You're not hearing me. You got another 10 seconds. Define what a big bank is and what Bernie Sanders will do that will help you, the average guy.
The big bank, he'll go back to Glass-Steagall, where he won't let the investment in the...
What did you just say? Which bill, hold it, which bill will he go back to?
Glass-Steagall. Remember Glass-Steagall?
Yeah, I'm glad you said it right. Yeah, it's from my two books ago. I know all about Glass-Steagall. I wrote about it in two books ago. And what's that going to do for you? Will it put an extra dollar in your pocket? I mean, you get the welfare check. You got Obamacare. You're not going to get any more money.
This is a responsibility for the U.S. Justice Department to get involved. Whenever anybody in this country is killed while in police custody, this should automatically trigger a U.S. Attorney General's investigation. And I speak as a mayor who worked very closely and well with police officers, the vast majority of whom are honest, hardworking people trying to do a difficult
job.
But let us be clear. If a police officer breaks the law, like any public official, that officer must be held accountable.
And that's not happening now, you garbage head, you? I'm going to scream in a minute. I can't take this. How a communist from New York, of the lowest ranks of New York communism, to get this far shows you how far down the Democrat Party has fallen. That they take a fine man, a patriot like Jim Webb, and drive him off the stage because he would have exposed Hillary for the harridan leftist that she is. Instead, the Democrat money bags, the billionaires who run the Democrat Party, the millionaires, billionaires, and trillionaires who run the Democrat Party, most of whom make a fortune on green energy scams, on public trough scams, those millionaires, billionaires, and trillionaires who support the Democrat Party drove a patriot like Jim Webb off the stage and left his lowlife stand there to make Hillary look centrist. And who does he attack last night, police? He has the nerve to say, if a police officer breaks the law, that officer must be held accountable, as if that's not a law right now. Wait, he goes further. I don't know if you could pick it up, Robert. Can you get it from where we stopped? Because I could read it otherwise. He then says we have to demilitarize our police departments so they don't look like occupying armies. We've got to move towards community policing. So you want the Black Panthers policing your neighborhood? Is that what you want? You want thugs walking around policing your neighborhood? I warned you that Obama wanted to create his own personal army. I warned you that. And we're moving rapidly in that direction. And you think it can't happen here. It's happening right in front of your eyes. And then, when they were asked about ISIS, you cannot believe the answers from these two. I don't have words for them because I keep using the wrong words. I mean, the right words, you'll think I'm making the wrong statement. It was Mrs. Marx debating Mr. Lenin. So when they were asked about fighting ISIS, you cannot believe this. Does he want community soldiers as well? Who will Sanders send to fight ISIS? The college professors who put him in as mayor of Burlington, Vermont? The flower children who worship this man? And who will Hillary Clinton use? She has no plan. She has no plan. So that's why I say, I watched it for 15 minutes. I had to get out of the house. I was going to scream and yell, and the dog was getting scared. It's getting frightening to see how far down the Democrat Party has fallen. Here is a lifetime socialist, communist, whatever you want to call him. You know the type, the union organizer from New York, the spritzer type who was jealous of everyone who did better than them, the ones who wished that they had invested in real estate in Manhattan and didn't, the anti-capitalists who are busy in the coffee houses planning the revolution while the city upgraded. The city moved up. People made fortunes in real estate, or they bought a house and then flipped it and bought another house. Then they bought a better house. They bought better shoes. They got a nicer wife. Bernie Sanders is still wearing the same sandals that he wore when he was espousing anti-Americanism in the 70s. Bernie Sanders is still sandaling the same wife that he has marched arm-in-arm with to overthrow society with from the beginning. But never forget, he's a boogeyman for Hillary to make her look centrist in plain English. How could any cop vote for a Democrat after listening to them last night? And yet some will. Yes, some will. Yes, some will. I think it's time to take a call or two on the Savage Nation. The British Parliament is debating banning Donald Trump right now, incidentally. Did you know that? Can you imagine how far that nation has fallen in their pandering to Muslim fanatics, that they would try to ban Donald Trump in Britain? I'm used to that, as you well know. I'm not going to say why. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about all the other topics I haven't gotten to. Got great sound from the guys today. It's a holiday. Most Americans are asleep still. I think they're still asleep, not working. Another holiday. I want Washington back. I want Lincoln back. You want Martin Luther King Jr. Day? Make it, I would say, Ethnic Liberation Day, so that it's not limited to one race. Or if you want, make a separate holiday for Martin Luther King Jr. He didn't found America, did he? So far as I know, it was George Washington who led the army against the British. So far as I know, it was Lincoln who was considered a great man. That's why we once had Washington's birthday as a national holiday. We had Lincoln's birthday as a holiday. And then the communists came along, and they chiseled away the faces of Washington and Lincoln. And in their place, they put in Martin Luther King Jr. Why did they do that? Why did they take away Washington and Lincoln? You think about what I'm saying to you. You'll realize I am so right. You'll realize that your society, your culture is being chiseled away from you right in front of your eyes, and you're sitting here cheering it because you consider yourself a liberal. What will replace the culture is the question, fools. What is the model that the communist professors are using to replace this culture with? What model are they using? Is it South Africa? You want to know a little bit more about South Africa? Would you like to know what a woman's life is like in South Africa? What model are these communist professors using who want to chisel away our culture, erase our borders, and decimate our language? Tell me what model they're using. What idealistic model do they have? What utopian vision do they have? Where has this utopian vision ever worked before? I saw a blog this morning. Oh, I wish I could put my hands on it. I asked the guys to fax it to me. And I may have it. I do so much in the morning, and I'm not complaining. I enjoy it. I get up with a love for the show. Here it is. Got it. It's on my Facebook page. Oh, it's perfect for right now. My favorite blog of the day. And it's about Sanders and Clinton, and it was written by an anonymous blogger named Charles Martel. I have to read it to you in a few minutes, but I want to take a caller first, a couple of callers. Nick on WFTL, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'm a retired police sergeant. Most, if not all, police unions are supporting Trump. As a matter of fact, Sheriff David Clark out of Milwaukee just did a piece. He defends Donald Trump on his immigration policy because...
No, I know about him. He's a wonderful man, but I'm talking about the rank-and-file cops in America's precincts. Many of them are foolish Democrats.
Yes, they are, but I got to tell you, it's a very, very small number. Every cop that I know, I live in Florida now, I was from New York, every cop that I've spoken to is voting for Trump. Not one. They were voting for Hillary.
I understand, but what's the sample size? What, 100 people?
Well, Mike, you got to go nationally because in terms of politics, most cops, even the younger cops today, are still coming from conservative families. They still hold conservative values, and they don't want to see their country destroyed. And that's the motive.
Yeah, but here's the problem with cops and the Democrat Party. Most cops also work for their pension. Let's be clear. You have a nice pension, and you worked hard for it. But most cops take the job, and I don't know what the proportion of what drives them. Some is to serve, some is for the pension. And they want that big fat pension. They don't want anyone cutting into that pension. And their guess is that a Democrat socialist will not cut their pensions while Trump will. I mean, I'm laying it on the line. See, I read this very well, Nick, and I don't think you see it the way they do.
I understand, but you know what? They're more afraid of a Bernie Sanders or a Hillary Clinton cutting into their pension. Trump is pro-union. He's not going to cut into their pension at all. He's not. I can tell you, I was the retiree delegate for the New York City...
Well, let's talk about... You want to talk about cutting pensions? You think all police pensions are valid? Have you seen the numbers that some people are getting? $400,000 a year? $500,000 a year? Have you seen San Francisco's firemen and police, what they retire on? These piggish unions, what they've done to the city and state here? Have you seen it? The women who can't lift the ladder and don't get their uniforms dirty? $500,000 a year for a police chief?
Couldn't agree with you more, Michael. I couldn't agree with you more. But in the main, across the country...
The cops who retire on disability and seen golfing the next day in Florida? I'm sorry, we need reform all around. Thanks for the call. See, you didn't think I'd go there, but I will. We need pension reform. That's a whole separate topic. The public employees are living fat. They're making more money than people in the private sector. How about the tenured professors and their retirement funds? The college teachers who do nothing, who support socialism, living on $100,000 a year pensions. How about them? I'd like to see those pensions reined in, wouldn't you? I mean, there are plenty of jobs in Walmart somewhere for them. What did I want to read to you? It's 12:45. Do I have time at this shot here? I could save it. The attack on whites is what I'm talking about today. The attack on the white race has become a sick, sick story that is being promulgated by the radical left, but it's now become mainstreamed because Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders called for a war on white police last night, in case you didn't listen carefully. They were asked about white privilege. Did you hear that? That's an invention. The whole concept of white privilege is a construct of the Alinsky radical left. They've gone after skin color. And they've turned that into a theme. And because they can brainwash the poor children in school, they figure they can now brainwash the adults in the media, which they've done, like Lester Holt, who was always adult. And now they want to go after everyone and say, oh, you've benefited from white privilege, have you? I could tell you my story. I don't think so. I really don't know. I suppose it was white privilege that got me where I am. Let's see. My grandfather died at 47 from a heart attack after emigrating here, brought his children over, worked his behind off and died of a heart attack as a little immigrant tailor in New York. My father died at 57 from a heart attack after killing himself working 7 days a week so that his son could have a better life. Let's see. I was rejected from every job I applied for 30 years because of my white race. Let's see. Every step of the way in my radio career, I've had to navigate the rapids. I've had to swim upstream every day of my life. I work 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. I suppose it's white privilege that got me where I am. How come I didn't think of that? How come I didn't think of that, that they were all helping me along the way because I was one of them? And let's see, white privilege gave us the first black president, the first black attorney general. Shall I go down the list? Now we have the second black attorney general. Is that because of white privilege? Do you people have any idea what's going on in front of your eyes? The lying, the brainwashing, why I call him Obama? I don't want to go on a tirade and a tear about this man. He has opened the floodgates of hatred in a way you could never imagine. And now Hillary and Sanders are stepping into the breach to carry forward that tsunami against the white people. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
Well, sadly, it's reality. And it has been heartbreaking and incredibly outraging to see the constant stories of young men like Walter Scott, as you said, who have been killed by police officers.
Okay, so again, the mythology that there's an army of white racists who wear white sheets at night, who put on the blue during the day, who go around hunting down innocent poor black men who are on their way to medical school. And you would laugh at this if it was coming from Bernie Sanders or the illegitimate university types. But now it's coming from her, the Harridan, a rich white woman, never really worked a day in her life, always a politician, never produced a service. Think about what I mean by not worked. She's never produced a product or a service that anyone needs. Nothing. Zero. What has she ever produced that anyone wants? She's one of the least productive citizens of America. Donald Trump builds buildings. What has Bernie Sanders built but hatred? What has Hillary Clinton built? Nothing. What have the other Republican candidates, for that matter, ever built in this country? Have any of them produced a product or a service that anyone needs? They're lifetime politicians. You think about it. Trump builds things. Am I the first person to say that? Trump builds things. He produces products that people want. They're called buildings, golf courses. What does Hillary Clinton produce? Nothing. Hatred. I don't understand how you can't see what this is about. This is a battle for the survival of America. It's down to the wire. It's the last election. It's been said before, but in this case, it's 100% true. Either we get a demagogue who will spend her entire tenure in office decimating the middle class, attacking white people under the guise of being fair, and feathering the nests of her billionaire, trillionaire donors. Or we will get a communist like Bernie Sanders who will destroy the remnants of America. The final destruction will emerge. We will have either the equivalent of ex-Rhodesia, now known as Zimbabwe in America, or another model. That's what will emerge. And America will be flooded with refugees, immigrants, whatever you want to call them, to the extent that English won't even be understood in the streets in 20 years. It will be considered a minority language. Is that what you want to give your children? Make a very, very determined consideration before you vote next November. What do you want to leave your children? Think about it very carefully. Buy the rhetoric, or think about it. It doesn't matter what your race is, by the way. What do you want to leave your children? I don't care. If I were a black middle-class person who struggled to have what I have, you think I would vote for a communist like Hillary Clinton? A demagogue like Bernie Sanders? No, I wouldn't. I would think very carefully about which one of the candidates would most likely raise up all of society, and which one of the candidates would most likely drain the water from the lake, leaving everyone high and dry. There's a lot more to talk about in the Savage Nation. From I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme in One Generation.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here come Tuesday.
Well, hold it. We're not at Tuesday yet. But the demagogues have been up late and spewing their hatred. That was the so-called Democrat debate last night. It's funny how they pick these crazy times with the lowest possible audiences, because they know that they know, first of all, that it's a sham debate, what we call a Potemkin debate. You'll have to research where the word Potemkin comes from. It was a Potemkin debate because debating between Mr. Marx and Mrs. Lenin is a Potemkin debate. Set up strictly to make her look more centrist when she's anything but that. That's number one. Number two, where's the real slew of candidates? There has to be a wider variety of Democrats than Marxism or Leninism. They weren't there. The only one I would have considered to be a legitimate American on that stage was immediately thrown off. His name was Jim Webb, former Navy Secretary. But I watched it long enough to see what it was and see what it was going for. The same old race warfare, class warfare that the Democrat Party has been known for years, with sort of a new iteration of it, even more vicious. Now it's focusing on attacks on white people in the form of police. The police have become the snowman for the left. They don't say that they want to get the white people, they want to get the police. That's the game that they're playing. Now that's ignoring the fact that so many police today are minorities. But that doesn't matter, because the wink and nod is that most police are white. Well, of course, most of Americans are white, incidentally. And so you had Sanders attacking police. You had Hillary jumping up and saying that. Then the more they were talking about, then they got into what they give away for free. No, I want free prescription drugs. Well, I raised that. I would go more than just prescription drugs. I give them more than that. Medical care for everybody and drugs. Well, what would you do, Mrs. Clinton? Medical care for everybody and drugs and stuff they don't even want. Extra stuff. And more freebies. You could laugh at it if you were sitting up high, or this was another century looking back upon what went on in America after the racist administration of Obama, what it had unleashed in the country. But I found a blog of the day about Sanders and Clinton by a fellow named Charles Martel. I'm going to read it to you. It's simple. It's good. He writes, Saul Alinsky's writings influenced all new and improved National Socialist liberal pigs in political control of our nation today. He and Joseph Goebbels are liberals, two foremost admired favorite propagandists. Recall that pasty-faced Anglo-hillbilly Hillary did her college thesis on her hero's writings, Saul Alinsky. And Grand Ayatollah Obama lionized his hero, the quintessential community organizer, in all of his plagiarized books written by Bill Ayers. And Chairman Bernie Mao not only thinks like Saul, he even looks like Saul. All liberal socialist pigs agree that there are eight levels of control that must be obtained before you are able to create their dream, a totalitarian socialist state. The first, fourth, and sixth are the most important. One, health care. Control health care and you control the people. National socialist Germany was the first true state with universal health care for all ethnic Germans. Two, poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible, because poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you are providing everything for them to live. Increase immigration of poverty-stricken, disease-ridden foreigners. Three, debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level, currently at $18.79 trillion. That way you're able to increase taxes and this will produce more poverty. Four, gun control. Remove the ability of the people to resist liberals' beloved tyrannical rule. Five, welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Six, take control, education. Take control of what people read and listen to, media. And take control of what children learn in school. Liberals' beloved Maoist-style indoctrination. By the way, I researched Bernie Sanders' early speeches. He called for the nationalization of all media. He wanted the government to run the media. Did you know that? Old Bernie the Spritzer, Religion. Remove the belief in God from the government, schools, and public life. Remove any hope that isn't government bestowed. 8. Class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to take tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. Does any of this sound like what is happening in the United States? Liberals merely simplified Lenin's original scheme for world conquest by liberals' beloved communist socialism. A religion directly responsible for the murder of over 160 million human beings. They are he means Marxism, communism. Their National Socialist brothers murdered another 30 million. Only liberals' most beloved religion of all, Islam, tops them all with over 270 million butchered. Hindus alone, over 80 million murdered in the name of Allah. Stalin described his converts as useful idiots. The useful idiots have destroyed every nation in which they have seized power and control. This agenda, he writes, is presently being promoted by Fraulein Hillary and Jihadi Mullah Barry's liberal minion, white Anglo demons, as they attempt to form the utopian dream, a new and improved national socialist totalitarian state. He concludes, if people can read this and still say everything is just fine, they are then Hillary and Barry's useful idiots. Meanwhile, America's Grand Ayatollah Obama has the lowest support ever recorded for a sitting president by our military personnel at 13%. You hear what I just said to you? Now, that 13% supporter in the military would be the officers who were left. The others have been purged. 855-407-282. Those are some of the topics. But look, I wish I had good news for you, but it's all bad news. It's going to escalate every day now as this goes on. The hatred coming out of the left is reaching a crescendo, a new crescendo. And make no mistake about what they really want. Sanders is a lifetime communist, always has been, always will be. He glorified the Sandinistas, as did Mayor de Blasio in New York. So you say, well, what's wrong with that? What did they do wrong? Listen to clip number 10. This is an archival clip. Way back when, before Bernie Sanders was even heard of outside of Burlington, Vermont.
You may recall way back in, when was it, 1961, they invaded Cuba. And everybody was totally convinced that Castro was the worst guy in the world. All the Cuban people were going to rise up in rebellion against Fidel Castro. They forgot that he educated their kids, gave them health care, totally transformed the society. You know, not to say that Fidel Castro or Cuba are perfect. They are certainly not. But just because Ronald Reagan dislikes these people does not mean to say that the people in their own nations feel the same way. So they expected a tremendous uprising in Cuba. It never came. And if they are expecting a tremendous uprising
in Nicaragua... That's because they had no guns, because there were torture chambers. It's a police state, always has been. The people were reduced to slaves who could play backgammon and fix up 1950s cars. That's Bernie's vision for America. Bernie Sanders is the Cubist of politics. He even calls Cuba, Cuber. He is definitely the Cubist of the American left. And that's an artful statement for those of you who understand art. He's a Cubist who paints in blocks. And he said there was going to be an uprising and we expected it, but there was none. Well, there was no uprising because they have no First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment. They have no rights whatsoever. It's run by two thug gangsters who run the country as a private fiefdom. That's Bernie Sanders' vision for America, a country run by a handful of people. 855-407-282 is my phone number. My website is michaelsavage.com. I'm afraid to read any of the other headlines on my site. It's enough already, 75 minutes into this, right? Let's take some calls. I think I only took one, right? Let's go. I don't know who to take, honest to God. WABC, Paul, go ahead, please. You're the first up this hour. What's on your mind?
The Savage. As a retired NYPD detective, I just like to say that as our blood flows in the streets, ruthless politicians use and abuse us to get elected and reelected. Case?
Jim, you should know him after all these years. It's about his case, an obsessive case. I've told you never to have him on the show. Try to memorize voices. I do. Otherwise, I don't need call screening. I could just take unscreened calls, and whoever I get, I can hang up on if I don't like them, or they're just babbling. Let's try a next one. Let's go to KUGN in Eugene, Oregon. Doug, thanks for listening. What's on your mind in Eugene, Oregon?
Yeah, in the spirit of MLK's dream, here's something to think about. Police officers in this country are making decisions and arrest based on the content of a person's character, period. Not on the color of their skin, the content of their character. This is what MLK talked about.
Oh, you mean they're arresting criminals?
Oh, yeah, they are.
You mean they're arresting people who commit crimes, and if they happen to be of color, that's too bad? It's not the other way around, the way the racist liberal professors would have you believe?
Exactly.
Well, you ought to tell that to Hillary Clinton. She says it's all based on racism.
Well, she's wrong.
I know she's wrong. Of course she's wrong. She attacked police last night. How any cop could ever vote for her, I don't understand it. But wait, Sanders was worse than her. Now, I want you to listen to the big lie in clip 7. You'll hear the lie immediately. It's worth listening to. Fire clip 7, please.
We have a criminal justice system which is broken. Who in America is satisfied
America.
That we have more people in jail than any other country on earth, including China, disproportionately African-American and Latino?
Again, so the statement seems as though they're arrested because they're African-American and Hispanic, not because they committed crimes which they then was adjudicated in a court of law and they went to prison. It's only because of the race. This is what we mean by racism and race warfare. And I wish somebody could speak to him about elocution. It is not America, and it's not Cuba. It's actually America. Words that end in an A generally end in an A. America, America, not America. And it's not Cuba, Bernie. It's not Cuba, and it's not America. But okay, this is what you want. It'd be fun if he became president. This would be a fun time in America. Bernie Sanders as president. Just what we need in a time of Muslim supremacy. That's just what we need in a time of Islamofascism, is a man like Bernie Sanders. A man who has never fired a BB gun in his entire life, leading the military. Can you imagine him leading the military? Can you imagine this? It's unbelievable to me. Okay, that opens up a couple of lines. 855-407-282. Shall we take Charles on WABC when we come back? Charles, go ahead. Fire away right now. Let's see what you have to say, please.
I'm Michael Savage. Good afternoon, sir. I'd like to ask you, what makes an American?
No, please. Let's not play Talmud here. I'm not on Eastern Parkway. What's your point?
My point is this, sir. I think what the people are really trying to say is that there should be equal justice for equal people. Justice should be devil on the level of equality, not on race.
Why do you assume there isn't? We have a black president, a black attorney general, many black people running in many departments of America. Where's there no equal justice?
Was there equal justice when the federal government had to take armed guards and march a six-year-old girl off the walkway to her school? If there would have been equal justice, that would not have been...
Wait. What year are you talking about? I don't know what year you're talking about.
I'm going back. But you see, you said equal justice.
But you're talking about the 1960s, before the Civil Rights Movement. I mean, it's not 1965 anymore. We're living in 2016. A lot has happened. But you can't live in the past and think you're seeing the present. You're only seeing the world through the eyes of the past, Charles.
Listen, I'm trying to...
Charles, listen to me. You're probably a reasonable man. I'm sure you and I would enjoy talking to each other, but you got to live in the present to know what's going on in the present, Charles. Thanks for the call. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Hillary and Bernie and the entire Democrat, Socialist, Islamist, corrupt machine. That's where we're going. And someone's got to put a brake on the truck as it skids down the highway. Portland Community College should devote an entire month to whiteness shaming. Whiteness shaming. Whiteness History Month will attack white children in colleges and tell them to be ashamed of their race. This is being done by the communists. It's being run by the white communists, make no mistake about it. the Sololinsky type of commie professors. Just imagine the young ones who look like Bernie Sanders did many, many years ago when he still had a full head of hair. This is who's pushing this now. They're getting away with overt racism, making white children say they're ashamed of being white. It was conceived by a subcommittee of the college's so-called Campus Diversity Council. Campus Diversity Council. How many years have I, Michael Savage, said to you, diversity is a code word for perversity? It perverts the very meaning of the word academia. It perverts the very meaning of the word racial justice. And they're getting away with it under the guise of re-educating white children in this sense to make them hate themselves. And I'll tell you more about that. They're going to define what whiteness is. They say it is not even referring to skin color. It's not limited by skin color. Listen to this. These psycho professors are telling your children that whiteness does not simply refer to skin color, but to an ideology based on beliefs, values, behaviors, habits, and attitudes, which result in the unequal distribution of power and privilege based on skin color. So in other words, if you work hard, that's racism. If you study, that's racism. This is how sick it's become. Where is it all heading? I think you can pretty much figure out where this doesn't end with a whimper. It ends with a bang. Let's put it to you that way. This does not end with a whimper. It ends with a bang. You can only push people so far they explode. Now, we haven't reached that point yet because this is the most tolerant nation on the planet. No other nation on earth would have tolerated these insignificant, cowardly professors getting away with what they've been getting away with this long. No nation on earth would have tolerated it this long. But because this is the most tolerant nation on the planet, they've gotten away with virtual murder. They've murdered your child's sense of self-respect if he or she is white. Ask your child how often they've had to hear about their white privilege, even if they've worked two jobs after school and come from humble beginnings. Ask yourself the question, what nation do you want to leave behind?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
More cultural degeneracy. More cultural degeneracy, big deal. Tattoos on her, you know what. And you bring in fundamentalist throwbacks from the Middle East, they rape them. They don't know why. So all of a sudden the feminists have nothing to say about it because they don't know which way to turn. Then you turn on Showtime and there's an Andrew Dice Clay blue show. Now I've heard everything. I've seen everything imaginable. Let me see, where do I begin on the cultural degeneracy of the Andrew Dice Clay blue show on Showtime? Have you ever seen or heard anything more misogynistic in your life with a fake audience? It was all about crimes against women. The most vulgar, anti-women, woman commentary, comedy, if you want to call it that, on Showtime. I thought Andrew Dice Clay years ago was not offensive. He was kind of, I don't know what he was, but he was in that Woody Allen movie, looked like a big schlubby idiot husband. I thought he had a sympathy. And then he has guys on like the Smash Brothers, which are beyond disgusting. They're not entertainers or comedians. They're committing crimes against women in what they were doing. And then he had a comedian on in this Andrew Dice Clay blue show, the last one, dressed like a Nazi with a pentagram on his arm and a tattoo. He says things like this. I always wanted a child, but I couldn't catch one. And the audience laughs. This is on Showtime. And you wonder why there's a conservative revolution going on in America? You wonder why people have had enough of this vomit? Let's go to the callers, please. Mohammed on WFTL. What? Go shove it. You speak English on the show, sucker. We're not living in one of your occupied lands yet. So now they're telling to call shows and to spritz us in Arabic. You hear this? You know, it's interesting. The Muslims don't even know the unintended consequences of what they're doing. I read an article this morning in the L.A. Times that says activists turned tolerant St. Petersburg into a homophobic city. Now, I also told you in my book, Government Zero, that the whole reason the West, meaning Obama and the left, the liberals, so to speak, hate Putin is because he's a extreme conservative on social values. And he also does not tolerate, I must put it to you as clearly as I can, let us put it to you this way, the message of diversity that we have accepted lock, stock, and barrel here in America. I'll put it in a nice way. And so there's a man featured named Timur Bulatov, who calls himself a homophobic wolf. And he's leading an assault against individuals who he considers to be propagandists for the LGBT fascism. And I'm quoting him now. And he says that they are corrupting Russian society by encouraging acceptance of gays, lesbians, and transgender people. Now, the important part of this article is who Timur Bulatov is. He's a Muslim. He's a Muslim in Russia leading a charge against the LGBT activists in Russia. Can you believe this? And so watch out, Muslims, for the unintended consequences. If you think that all will work out well with liberals, how do you explain the, let us say, social viewpoints that they have? Their social viewpoints are antithetical to that of Islam. Interesting. Timur Bulatov calls himself a homophobic wolf. And he runs around looking for individuals who he considers to be pushing the homosexual agenda or LGBT fascism. And again, I'm quoting. And he found a doctor named Dmitry Izyov, who led a commission of psychiatrists in St. Petersburg that approved hundreds of sex change operations. And Mr. Bulatov complained to the State Medical Institute, where the doctor had practiced and taught since 06. And so the supervisors disbanded the commission and forced Dr. Izyov to resign. Isn't that weird? Fascinating article from Mansour Miravalov in the L.A. Times, which I think I put up on michaelsavage.com. Activists turn tolerant St. Petersburg into homophobic city. Now, my headline is Muslim leads charge against LGBT activists in Russia. That's a more accurate, headline. 855, what are the other headlines here other than my phone? The headlines for the Savage Nation. British Prime Minister David Cameron says Muslim immigrants who don't learn English could be deported. Portland Community College should devote an entire month to whiteness shaming. Dogs guard El Chapo at Mexican prison. Refugee crisis could become something bigger. And they say with the collapse of oil prices, African nations are going to collapse and almost 1 billion inhabitants could move north and completely decimate Europe. There'll be no Europe left. Zero. Let's see. American folk singer hopes peace concert for ISIS will win over terror group. Look, I wrote the book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. An Oregon folk singer is going to serenade the Islamic State. He's going to bring the black-clad barbarians a prayerful message of peace. Even though the so-called State Department said that his life could be in danger, this idealistic moron of Portland, Oregon, says he has a calling and that going there and playing folk songs to them can soften the hearts of the Islamist army known for beheading Westerners, throwing gays off of buildings, and summarily executing innocent women and children. He said it's going to be very powerful at his concert. He said when people come together and focus on something in a positive way, there's scientific evidence that it can change things for the better. So the psycho folk singer will travel to Israel and leaving from there to cross over into Western Syria and set up a special concert in ISIS-controlled territory. I personally think that he will soothe them to such an extent that all of them will lay down their weapons and give peace a chance. 855-400-7282. Let's go to the callers. I have so many good callers, but I don't know. No, let's not go to the callers. Let's not go to the callers. Did anyone see the Andrew Dice Clay Blue show? Leave one open line for that. Am I the only one who sat up late Friday or Saturday night watching it? I mean, I've heard everything. I'm not a fading rose. I've heard every dirty, filthy thing imaginable. I never saw anything that was so vilely anti-woman and so hideously anti-female in my entire life. How did Showtime run a thing like this? I'm no prude. But I believe that this is reasonable cause for crimes against women, what they said on this show. I never heard such vile, anti-female language in my entire life. And Andrew Dice Clay, I thought was a reasonably funny guy. I think he's a sicko, really a sick man. He had people on like the Smash Brothers, sick men, very ill men, saying things about female anatomy that you would not believe would be said on Showtime. And I don't know, was I the only one watching it? I started watching it at 11 o'clock at night. I was bored. It was raining. Turned it on. The dog and I. Thundering, raining. Even the birds were hiding. I said, no, this can't be. I said, it got worse by the second. And it went from anti-woman to anti-gay to anti-Asian to anti-Hispanic. And then it topped off with anti-children and bordered on something beyond anti-children by the last comedian. Who, again, I said, he thought it was very funny, said, I always wanted a child, but I couldn't catch one. This is being run by Showtime. Now, who runs Showtime? Who was the creature that runs Showtime? How come you never see a conservative comedian on any of these channels? How come the sick degenerates who run HBO and Showtime only have degenerate leftists like Bill Maher and the others with stooge audiences? Bill Maher is nothing but a government jester. They work for the government. I don't mean they get a check from the government. They're approved by the government. Anybody who debases Judeo-Christian values, anyone who debases the family, anyone who runs down the church, anyone who runs down a decent life is considered a comedian to them. I had a female comedian up who was the most anti-female comedian I ever heard in my life. And she said, well, you know, I on the long drive down here, you know what you have to do, take a lot of coke and... Like, that's the norm now. Just take a lot of coke and get up there and spritz. But anyway, I watched it because I can't believe it. See, I'm a social observer. So if I watch the society degenerating so rapidly under Obama, it's all interconnected. You say, what do you want from him? He had nothing to do with Showtime. Are you kidding? Who do you think pays for the Democrats? Who gives them money? The media. The government media complex is one and the same. Otherwise, there'd be a reaction somewhere to what I saw. Then there was Sean Penn giving an interview to this man named Charlie Rose. And I don't know what Charlie Rose thinks he is, but of course he's just a stooge again for his guests. And Rose the stooge asks Penn if he thinks the Mexican government set him up. Listen to this crazy, because I always thought that there's more to this Penn story. He wouldn't be alive if he wasn't working for the CIA. I personally think Sean Penn, my guess, no way to know, no way to confirm or deny, pure speculation. In my opinion, Sean Penn works for the federal government. Listen to clip number 15.
Do you believe that the Mexican government released this because they wanted to see you blamed and to put you at risk?
Yes.
They wanted to encourage the cartel to put you in their crosshairs?
Yes.
Are you fearful for your life?
No.
Do you believe the cartel wants to do harm to you?
No, he's not afraid. He's the only man in the world not afraid of the cartel. That's because he's Superman. Sean Penn's Superman. Underneath that outfit of skinny jeans, he's made of steel. The man of steel with kryptonite. Did you hear what you said? No, I'm not afraid of the cartel. Do you know any other man on earth who would say that who's sane? No one on earth would say that. No sane man would say a thing like that. Okay, but that again, I'm telling you, there's something more to this than meets the eye. Because if they wanted him, my friends, he'd be fearful for his life. He'd go into hiding. Number two, whatever. I mean, come on. It's all propaganda. Bob, on WABC, you saw the Andrew Dice Clay psycho fest against women and children?
Yes, I did. I watched it for about 4 minutes and turned it off. I thought it was going to be a comedy routine, and it was absolutely disgusting.
Well, it got worse, though. Every so-called comedian became more anti-woman by the second. And about their anatomy, body parts. I can't say it. It's a family show. I mean, if you want sickness, turn on Andrew Dice Clay. And that's why, I think that's why Howard Stern likes him. I would think, because birds of a feather flock together.
It was incredible. I couldn't believe they had it on TV.
Well, that's Showtime for you. Who runs Showtime? Who's the head of Showtime? Who's the genius? Okay, whatever. I'm just giving you an example. When I say borders, language, and culture, I'm talking about this. This is the culture I'm talking about. Get it? WVLK Travis, fire away 30 seconds or less. Boom, go.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, I just wanted to say that when black people say that they want equal rights, it's not that they want equal rights. It's that they want divided rights. They want to be judged by a black lawyer. They want to be judged by a black prosecutor. And that's because they want to have an easier sentence. You know, the judicial system would have
So does that mean that if you want, let's say, a jury of your peers, that white people should demand an all-white jury, feeling that black people will be biased against them? Is that what we want? A Hispanic jury for Hispanics, a black jury for blacks, and a white jury for whites? Is that what they want now? A polarization like that? Because that's where we're heading. See, this is what I want to do now. When I call your name, don't say, how are you, I love you, I love Teddy, whatever. Just bing, bang, boom, 30 seconds or less, right? WMAL, Sarah, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Andrew Dice Clay used to talk like this, and then to make money, he had to drop the whole thing. The woman from Saturday Night Live refused to be on when he was going to be on. She got fired for not wanting to be on with this creep. Then they tried to lighten him up for a TV show and said, he's not like that. No, Dice, don't worry. And then he came back to this to make money. He'll do anything for money.
Well, now I know why Woody Allen picked him to play in his movie Blue Jasmine. I mean, Woody Allen married, what, a 9-year-old? So I would say that they fit together. They probably had a nice dinner at some point in Elaine's when it was still open. And he found someone who was like him, but bigger and stronger and braver. And he put him in his movie. But, Sarah, it was this. Did you see this show?
Did I see the film? No, and I wouldn't.
No. Did you see the Andrew Dice Clay Blue show on Showtime?
It's disgusting. Why do men hate women? Why do men hate the vessel from which...
And then the audience consisted of, actors and actresses who would laugh at the jokes, mainly women. Like, he'd make a joke about how small Asian men's private parts are, and the camera would focus in on an Asian who was laughing hysterically, right? And then another comedian would make a joke about how Asian women sound when they're climaxing. And they'd make sounds like that, and they'd focus on an Asian woman laughing in the audience. You understand the whole thing was a setup?
Yes.
It's sickening. I mean, I watched it because it's a social meltdown to see how low this is. We have gone below that level, way beyond the level of the Weimar Republic before Hitler came to power. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCO.
There needs to be a concerted effort to address the systemic racism in our criminal justice system. And that requires a very clear agenda for retraining police officers, looking at ways to end racial profiling, finding more ways to really bring the disparities that stalk our country into high relief.
So here she is racially profiling police under the guise of not racially profiling police. And watching the debate last night was watching Mr. Marx debating Mrs. Lenin. One socialist, communist, debating another. Anti-white bigotry pouring out of their mouths, coming from the white ruling class. As I said, on this day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme. It's sickening to have watched this. But this is what we've gotten used to with the Democrat Party. And that's why those of us on the other side of the aisle, so to speak, must be very cautious in attacking candidates who might just win. And there's a lot of foolish people on the conservative side who think that by attacking Donald Trump, saying he's not conservative enough, they're going to catapult Ted Cruz to the presidency. Ted Cruz cannot win the presidency. Ted Cruz has too many defects as a candidate, not as a man, to win. Trump can win. And what they're doing right now is working for the RNC by undermining Trump. Under the guise of supporting Ted Cruz, they're working for the Republican National Committee. The very same people who say they're anti-Republican are working for the Republican Party by attacking Donald Trump. Because he's not conservative enough for the popes and the cardinals of conservatism. The purists remember this. Would you rather win or lose?
Thank you. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all deep. Here come Tuesday.
It is hour number three of the Savage Nation. We're going to go to open mic to mic. If we have three open lines, 855-407-2282. If you're on the line holding, I will get to you. If you'd like to join the conversation, that's the phone number to call, 855-400-7282. We began today about the demagoguery of last night's alleged Democrat debate, which was a Potemkin debate. And then we talked about what is going on in America, the race warfare, the class warfare under Obama, and how it will get worse under Hillary or, God forbid, Bernie Sanders. We talked about a group of youths who jumped a white couple in a knockout-style game on the Washington, D.C. Metro. We quoted a female professor of the Quran who says Allah allows Muslims to rape non-Muslim women. Go read it. It's on Jihad Watch. Take a look at the doll stuffing her face with a knish. I don't understand how you, because someone wears a holy robe, you accept what they say. You know what amazes me? The American left constantly mocked Christians who were liars. The fake pastors, the crybaby pastors who were ripping off the congregations. They don't say one thing about these phonies who put a headscarf on and spew this kind of hatred. What would you expect? And you and Cameron in England says that immigrants must learn English if to remain in England. Schwab says Europe will be facing a crisis with possibly a billion Africans moving north because of the collapse of oil prices. I told you that's why you must slam our doors shut. slam our borders shut. Story of a liberal man who died in San Francisco who was punched standing on a curb. I told you there was a eulogy to some communist in North Beach last night by other communists of whom he was a member of their circle. And the irony and the sadness is he was a 69-year-old white guy standing on 9th and Market Street in San Francisco, and a black man came up, punched him, his head hit the curb, and he died. Horrible. Just horrible. Just horrible. I don't think it'll change their policies or their rhetoric at all, by the way. And I talked about on this day how we have devolved from I have a dream to I have a scheme in one generation. How Sanders is a stalking horse for Hillary to make her look centrist. How Portland Community College is calling for a month of white shaming. I said you better read Government Zero to understand what's going on. Then I said most liberals are nice people, but they don't understand the real world. I think maybe that's a good takeoff point right now. So Saturday morning it was raining in San Francisco. And I decided I wanted to go to a design show down at the former military base. I forget what it's even called. I don't remember it. It's on the water. I don't know a point, whatever. I don't remember some of the names of these things, but they turned it all into an art haven. Every little Quonset hut now is an art show, but there was a design show, and I wanted to go because I'm interested in design. And everyone, it was full of liberals. I would say I was the only political conservative in the entire auditorium, crowd. It wasn't an auditorium. You walked around from exhibit to exhibit. You know, designers set up exhibits and sell their designs, I guess, whatever they make, or they offer their design services. And I find it fascinating to be in these kinds of environments because I love creativity of all kinds. And I try not to look at the person's politics. I want to look at their products. The same with movies. If I enjoy a movie, I try to ignore the politics of the filmmaker, except in the case of Quentin Tarantino and some of the others who are vocally anti-white and anti-police. I will never go to their movies. If they ever appear on a TV screen, because I know it's all monitored and calculated by Comcast, I turn the show off immediately, even if I'm just scanning through. I punish them. You can punish people like that. But, okay, so I go there. I don't know what their politics are. And I said, liberals are basically nice people. It's not mean people walking around with, you know, evil horns in their head. They look nice. They dress nice. They smell nice. They talk nice. But they're naive people. By and large, they just want to get along. They think that by being ultra-tolerant, to everyone will be ultra-tolerant to them. But the world doesn't work that way. and they're naive. And I said they don't understand, let alone the law of the jungle or survival of the fittest. They don't even know that their world is changing in front of their eyes, that there are people being brought into this country who have no concept of humanitarian values, humanism, liberalism. They have no idea. And so if they see a woman walking around in a tight skirt, they think that that means she's a slut and they have a right to touch her. They have no idea what they're doing to themselves. And so in that regard, I hope to educate some of them when they occasionally tune in by accident to the show. Maybe we can save the country. I don't know if it's not too late. I have no idea. Those are some of the topics. The phone number is 855-472-A2. We haven't gotten to the Iran deal, but that's boring. You don't want to know about that sellout, do you? Clinton casts herself as Obama's heir. Sanders calls for revolution and debate. Amazing. UK Parliament sets its sights on Trump. They debated today whether to ban Trump, and they named me as one of the people banned because I'm such a bad guy. And incidentally, they misquoted. I never said what they said I said in Britain. Never. Here's a little story for you that you should really pay attention to. Saudi Arabia buying American farmland to export crops home. Can you believe how sick this country is? That we let foreign entities like China, Saudi Arabia, and other Persian Gulf countries scooping up our farmland and sending the crops home to their own country, leaving us to starve. It just shows you that at the end of the day, there's insanity ruling this country. You know, Canada does not permit you to buy farmland, the foreigners. You know that because the Chinese were coming in and wanting to buy up tens of thousands of hectares. They wouldn't let them do it. So they banned foreigners, if I understand correctly, from owning more than 20 acres in Canada. I mean, look, people get around that. They put up front groups that, you know, as a group, they buy 20 acres each, whatever. But Canada has some limits on selling off their farmland. Not in America. No, everything's for sale. Your borders, your language, your culture, your farmland, the water, the air, the lumber, the minerals, the soybeans, the horses, the chickens come home to roost on the Savage Nation. WJR Jason, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, today was seen in Hollywood how the liberals are now fighting amongst each other to be, see who's more PC due to this black boycott of the Oscars.
Right, right. The black boycott that there aren't enough black nominees for an Academy Award, what's that about? Why, they automatically have to win an award because of their race?
Well, it seems that way. It seems they want to have affirmative action in Hollywood. And
well, they already have it. When you have an actor who's terrible, like Samuel L. Jackson Jr., one of the worst actors in history, who was pushed ahead for reasons I can't even imagine, every time he opens his mouth, he spews anti-white hatred. No wonder the police boycotted his movie with Quentin Tarantino.
Well, this is a divide, and now these people, these hypocrites...
But why must a person of a certain race win an Academy Award? How does that work?
It's based on affirmative action now.
Well, that would be like saying you must hire short white guys to be fullbacks on your football teams.
Or have to be forced to hire women that aren't qualified to be firefighters.
Oh, you mean like San Francisco's fire department?
Or in New York now is doing the same thing. New York City Fire Department has dropped their standards. And
oh, yeah, they can't lift the ladder, they can't lift the hose, and they make a fire chief for $570,000 a year, and they hire their friends. Then they retire. Fire broke out in San Francisco last year. The so-called fire chief hid a block away at a command center so she wouldn't soil her white uniform. She didn't even get a cinder on the uniform. I think she won an award for her prized work during the fire. I get it. Look, it's crazy. You see, here's the problem. We're living in a crazy world. And it takes men like me to try and right the sinking ship. But there's only so much mental bailing you can do. How much bailing can you do when the ship is sinking?
Not much.
Whatever. That opens up a line, 855-472-82. I think we should go back to Sean Penn saying that the Mexican government set him up. I think it's worth... No, I don't want to do that. I changed my mind. I want to talk about cultural degeneracy. So I watched the Andrew Dice Clay Blue show the other night. Something is so sick that we couldn't play any of it on the air. But I'm mentioning it to show you how far Showtime has fallen to the level of anti-woman, the most misogynistic spewing of woman hatred I've ever seen in my entire life. One so-called comedian after another, they're psychopaths who hate women, making jokes about female anatomy and the way women I can't even say it on the show. I watched it in horror and asked myself, who runs Showtime? And we look it up. The Showtime CEO is Matthew Blank, and the parent company is CBS. And let's play the clip now. I think it's been purged for a general audience. Clip number one.
It's Andrew Dice Clay on the next Laugh Out Loud.
You remember when I started?
I don't even remember when I started.
This is the first show that I'm actually hosting with some of the craziest comics you'll ever see.
I'm 6 months sober last week. Don't clap, it's court ordered.
We're gonna really just have a good time. Except for maybe you, jerk off face.
We only got one question. Are you allergic to duct tape?
I know what you're thinking.
Show me where the comedian touched you.
Show me on the teddy bear.
You've been with a girl and she's like harder, and you're like, this is all I got.
Andrew Dice Clay presents The Blue Show on the next Laugh Out Loud on Showtime.
All right, this is an example of why we may need some sort of... I got to be very careful here. I'm a libertarian conservative when it comes to the media. I'm a sexual libertarian. But I think this kind of vile woman hatred provokes rape. It certainly provokes a debasement of women, let's be very clear. Remember, I'm a father and a grandfather. Never forget that about me. A lot of hosts have no children. I don't know if you know that. They're great advisors about family life, but they have no children of their own. I do. And I'm a grandfather, and I'm proud to say it. It took me a long time to become a grandfather, but I'm really proud as a grandfather. And I really find it sickening that Showtime permits this kind of hatred towards women to be broadcast. It's sickening. It's mentally ill. Crazy. 855-400-7282. Now, here someone writes me this, Peter Chalka. He says, imagine if a Republican mogul was associated with a TV network that ran this kind of misogynistic programming. Could you hear this? Imagine if a Republican mogul, like the Koch brothers or whatever, Koch brothers, Coca-Cola, was associated with a TV network like Showtime that ran this kind of misogynistic programming, what would happen? And then he writes, I was in Connecticut several years ago when Interstate 95 through Fairfield County, Connecticut was closed so O's motorcade could travel unimpeded during rush hour to a fundraiser at Harvey Weinstein's Seaside Compound on Long Island Sound. Obama arrives at Harvey Weinstein's Connecticut compound for lavish fundraiser. Just saying the words Harvey and Weinstein together say it all. Nathan on the internet, thank you for taking the bait. What's on your mind tonight, sir?
Hi, Doc. You know, you're talking about the Blue Show and all the acts that they're describing, what they're going to do to women, and I'm surprised you didn't draw a correlation that a lot of the same acts and rapes and whatever is going on in Europe is going on in Europe due to the refugees.
Interesting connection. What you're saying is the ultra liberals of Hollywood, in this case Showtime, by promoting this misogynistic show by Andrew Dice Clay, are promoting rapes against women?
Correct, but they're talking about it. It's actually happening in Europe.
So in other words, I think what you're trying to say is this, if I can think through it with you, is you're saying by promoting stereotypes against women, you are encouraging debasing women and raping women.
Yes.
Ugh. Okay, if I had the power, something would happen, and it would have happened yesterday. It would have happened yesterday to Showtime if I had the power. But lucky for them, I have no power. All I have is my keen mind and my observational qualities, which I will use when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. Brought me back to my, I don't know, late teen. Turn it on. They can't hear me and listen to the music. I love the music. So they're doing a eulogy to this guy, Chocolate, who died last week at age 88. I always love how long Cuban musicians live. I must be the cigars and the rum and the sex. I don't know what it is. I don't know how they live that long. But they live in a guy towards 70 countries, right? The music is astounding. He started playing in the 1920s or 30s. I couldn't believe it. And it's such an inspiration to me to realize you can keep going on no matter how many impediments get in your way. You keep playing your music. Remember, no matter what you may think of us in talk radio, we're performers. At the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, we are performers. We may present politics from our point of view, but that's only part of what we do. We are performers. We are performing. I am singing. I am using my voice. I'm using my voice for 3 straight hours with a break here and there. I have 4 breaks an hour, just like a musician does on a stage. So you have to understand that I get my inspiration to a great extent by musicians. And this music was the top of the heap. I mean, I have played so many different types of music on this show over the years. And still to this day, reminds me, I mean, I've played Italian music, I've played Pavarotti, I've played Nino Rota, 8½ theme. You know all the great stuff. I've played some great opera. We played some wonderful things over the years on the Savage Nation in our cultural music library. But I don't think I've played enough of this. I don't want to call it Latin music because this is traditionally Afro-Cuban music, incidentally. Afro-Cuban music. And I remember when I was 18 years old how this music jumped me out of my staid middle-class life. It was this music that enabled me to go forward into the world and set out on my own road. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And some of the things I did were not good. Some of the things I did were good. Some of the things I did were stupid. Some of the things I did were great. But nevertheless, I took that road, and here I am, so many decades later. And that's why it's a sort of eulogy to Chocolate. So play a little Chocolate. No one knows what I'm talking about. I'm merely babbling to my dog. I mean, you turn on a radio talk show, all you want to hear about is Hillary and Bernie and Trump and Cruz and this and that. I'm not going to do that from now until the election. There's a limit to how much I can do it and how much you can listen to that garbage. I mean, let it get a, how long does an election go on in a country? What a sick nation. How many years? It's like crazy. Make it a 3-month period. Limit the amount of money you put into it and get it over with. Let the idiots vote already. You know, make it a 90-day campaign, a maximum of, I don't know, what, $100 million each, and bingo, it's over. No one can spend any more than the other one. Limit the number of candidates, limit the number of months, and limit the time. Period. I'm sick of it already. A little headline. The day after Obama removed sanctions on Iran and gave them $75 to $100 billion, an Iran proxy called Hezbollah kidnapped 3 U.S. soldiers near the border of Israel. You have 3 soldiers now in captivity by the terrorist state of Iran, just rewarded by the Obama administration. B.B. King, when love comes to town, I'm going to jump that train. I mean, remember him? They're like similar kind of men in energy. 87. He died at 88. He had diabetes for many years. Just shows you. Every ad, by the way, during the debate was for an illness, a drug. Did you notice this, what's going on? You watch Fox News, CNN, every ad is about this disease, that drug, and every drug. This can cause a heart attack, and cause cancer. You can drop dead in the street, but take the drug and don't tell anybody. But if you take the drug, it can lower this and raise that. Be careful, though, it can raise your chance of dying of colon cancer, heart attacks, brain cancer, tumors, Alzheimer's disease, and all around debility. But otherwise, this drug is the most fabulous thing in the world. I guarantee you that Merck will provide it. If Squibb doesn't, the government will, and if that doesn't, we'll pay it for sure with Medicaid, Obamacare. This is the way to go. Every ad is another ad for a disease. How is this possible? We have such a sick society. Everyone's like the walking dead, marching around. Everybody needs a prescription. 18 prescriptions for each schmuck. And you see them eating a restaurant, the oldsters, hobbling in. They can't walk. Their joints are gone from the garbage they're eating. And they hobble in at the end. Can they have the dessert? Like little morons. They said, what's the dessert? Well, we have chocolate ice cream, vanilla ice cream. We have tiramisu. We have this sweet. We have that. Oh, goody. They rub their hands together. They take a diabetes pill. And they hobble out. And they have no idea that they're killing themselves. Just take the drug from AstraZeneca, Squid, this one, that one. Unbelievable every year. And I have to see this. I have to watch this. And you wonder why a man gets agitated every once in a while. Let's go to the callers. Bill on KSFO. Welcome. What's on your mind, Bill?
Mike, I just want to say from one musician to another, keep on playing that music and demonstrating your wonderful variety of inspiring thoughts and mental agility.
What kind of music do you play, Bill?
I'm primarily a pianist, but I double on the bass and guitar.
I'm amazed by musicians. I have no ability to understand music. I just listen to it. You know, I wish I could play an instrument. I cannot play an instrument. I admire people who can. I love the diversity of people who can think with their, you know, with their bodies, so to speak. I don't know how you do it. I don't even understand music. It's a weird language.
Well, you definitely remind me of some of my favorite musicians, and the way I play, too, is usually without a set list. You know, I go where I think the people want to go and need to hear. And you just...
Well, I got to say to you is thank you for hearing the music in me. Thank you for listening to my music is what I want to say, because this is a performance at the end of the day. And a little music now and again from different, you know, worlds is amazing. Thank you for the call. So, Chocolate, you don't know him, Armenteros, Cuban trumpeter, standard bearer of the Afro-Cuban musical tradition, for 7 decades, died on January 6th in a nursing home in Mohegan Lake, New York. He was 87. Cause of complications, prostate cancer, San Alfredo Armenteros said. It's an amazing story because he played with some of the great groups in American music. Arsenio Rodriguez, Cachao, Lopez, Benny Moré, Eddie Palmieri. He played with many of the great groups. Can you imagine he was born in 1928 in central Cuba? And he went from there, I moved to Havana, moved to New York. And he toured with Sonora Matancera. I don't know if any of this matters to anyone. No one listens to them anymore. But the point I'm making is the energy of these musicians. These preeminent charanga-style musicians are astounding. I have a friend who's a musician. I want to tell you a little secret. He has a band and he plays, and I have no musical ability, but he loves me. I love him, you know, spiritually, and he's like a brother to me. He calls me older brother when he calls me. Would you believe this? This guy's my hero. He calls me older brother. So I said, you know, one of the things I've always wanted to do to get away from radio and change it up a bit is to perform with a musical band. I want to sing with an orchestra, like a band. So he said, you're going to sing with my band. But I came up with a name. I'm not going to tell you where or when, but very soon I will be performing as Miguelito from the Bronx. That's going to happen. We're going to see how that goes. I said, do not introduce me by my real name. Just say it's me. We have a special singer tonight, Miguelito from the Bronx. But don't say it till after I leave the stage. And I'll say, if I don't freak out and I can do it well, I'll come back. Because I really want to do something other than the stuff I do on radio. Radio's beautiful. It's great. But I have only one instrument. That instrument is my voice. So all I have is one instrument. Could you imagine the energy I'm going to get from singing with a group on stage? What it's going to do for my career in radio? See, life begins when you want it to begin. There's no age limit to when your life can begin and take a new direction. But I'll tell you a little secret about new beginnings. You want to hear it right now? I know I'm into like this thing I do. Here's the thing about new beginnings. They have to come from a crash and burn. It's almost impossible to change your life in any significant ways unless you have to. You have to be so desperate in one way or another, or you're not going to change your life. You know, it's good enough. You can read books on it and this and that. You're not going to do anything. You say, yeah, I want to do this. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to learn French. You're not going to do it unless you have to. There's got to be an imperative. So I got pushed into a corner emotionally, and I know what I'm going to do is I'm going to sing my way out of it. Would you believe it? I painted my way out of it last year. I painted watercolors. This year I want to sing. Why? Why? Why not? I'm still alive. Well, I'm still alive. I can do anything I want, right? Now, what does it have to do with a talk show? I don't know. What do I know? Maybe it'll affect my performance in a better way. Maybe I'll just feel better. All I know is that when I was driving home in the rain over the Golden Gate Bridge on Saturday night, and I turned on that radio, and I put it way up. I forget the kind of system I have in the old Mercedes. I have a Mercedes I bought in 2008. I will not sell it. This monster I call Wilhelm, this S600 12-cylinder beast, blue, dark blue, not a nick in it. I have nickophobia. So when I go to a parking lot, I'm one of these guys who parks way out on the edge, you know, or parallel parks here. I do it. I have ding neurosis for the car. I came up in another generation. I shine my shoes. I line them up on my bed. I don't let my car get dings. You get it? I wash my car. This is the kind of thing. So the car is like, I love it because the sound system, the driving, the power. And remember in my novel, Abuse of Power, we're set in San Francisco. I named the car that Jack Hatfield drives, Wilhelm. Remember that? Raise your hand if you remember my book, Abuse of Power, which you bought and read. Well, he had a car called Wilhelm, and it was based upon my car called Wilhelm. But I was driving Wilhelm home over the Golden Gate Bridge the other night, and it was one of those moments. You ever get those moments where everything is right in your life for a second? You're not high. You're not high on anything. But you turn the music up, and suddenly the whole world's perfect for you. And you start to raise the music, and your whole body is in there, And I'm back at 18 in at the third New York, snow in the face, going into the city, the dancing. And I said, it's still happening, man. It's happening here. It's still happening. The world didn't go away. It didn't disappear. All you got to do is reach out for it, and you can have it. So, you see, you can paint yourself into a dark hole with politics. This is another thing I want to tell you. If you only focus on politics and on the negative of what's happening to the country, it can make you sick. You can really curl up in a ball and die, and you cannot let that happen. This is the most essential thing I've ever said to you. As political as I am, and as political as the show is, that cannot be the be-all and end-all of my existence, nor should it be of any man's existence. Obama or Sanders or Hillary or Cruz or Trump cannot be the sun, the moon, and the stars. There are other galaxies, for God's sakes. Okay, the galaxy of art, the galaxy of music, the galaxy of sculpture. This is what art is. This is why it was created. This is why art is created. Because they too get desperate. They too get desperately backed into a corner. And they come out of it by singing, dancing, painting, sculpting. Now, having said all of that, I want you to imagine a world where there is no music. You turn the radio on and all there is a religious broadcast. I want you to imagine the museums have been burned to the ground. All the art has been removed. It's been replaced with nothing except scriptures from one religion. I want you to imagine a world where women cannot wear pretty clothing, where they must wear medieval tents to hide their bodies. And I want you to understand that that's the world that's going to happen unless you comprehend what Obama is doing to this nation, what Merkel is doing to Europe, and what must be done to stop this from emerging. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. B.B. King, 88 years old, toured 70 countries. I mean, the guy had diabetes for the last 20 years of his life. It didn't stop him. He didn't watch TV and run out and get a prescription drug and start hobbling over to Obamacare. You keep going. What's this with every minute a cripple job? Every second something's wrong with somebody. Why has this country gotten like this? Are there more people sick or is there more medication that doesn't even work? What do you think? It all works? You take it for this, it gives you that. You ever see what they do? Every ad on Fox News is for a drug. Every ad during the debate was for another drug. You cannot get away from the drug. Must be something going on here with the drug companies. And I love the candidates. All attack drug companies. But we'll get after the big pharmaceutical companies. We'll get after big insurance. Yeah, right. Sure. We're going to get after the big banks, Bernie. Yeah, right. Yeah, sure, Bernie. Where are you getting your money from? The ILGWU? I mean, the needle trades have long gone from America, Bernie. Where's your money coming from, Bernie? Yeah. And then on the other side, look what you got. Cruz, the only conservative. Cruz with Cruz. Trump fake. Trump really a liberal. Take it from me. Vote for Cruz. Everyone else no good. They want to lose another election. You know, a lawyer once said to me, 30 years ago when I was hot-headed, now I'm not. Then I was a hot-headed youngster. Someone had robbed me of something and I wanted to do something. And he said to me, you want to be right? You want to be right or you want to be smart? I said, what? I said, I want to. He said, listen to me. Do you want to be right or do you want to be smart? He said, listen to me. Do you want to be right or you want to be smart? He finally taught me something. Well, I'm trying to teach all of you voters something. You want to be right or you want to be smart? You want to win 60, 70% of what you believe in or zero? Trump can go all the way. He'll give you 60 to 70% of your conservative agenda. He's going to give us borders. He's going to give us language. He's going to give us culture. He'll build a wall. He'll rebuild the military. He'll tighten up the economy. That's pretty good. Cruz is promising us the world that he can't win. He cannot win. There's a number of reasons I keep telling you. I'm an expert on this. You know how some people are experts in certain things? I can tell you that he has no political appeal visually to the average voter. If you look at him... Let me put it to you this way, without debasing his politics or his intellect. He looks villainous. He's a villainous look. The eyebrows, the black hair, the oily look. He looks like a villain. If Harvey Weinstein was casting kind of a villainous character, like almost a vampire. If you wanted a picture of vampire face, and you were casting for actors, Cruise with a little blood coming down from the side of his mouth. I'm not saying he is. I'm telling you, I'm trying to give you an insight into how the average person votes. They vote for looks at the last minute, most people. They don't really know what their politics are. Saying, I don't like Hillary. Let's say even they get to that point. No, I'm not voting for that old commie, that loudmouth spritzer. I'm not voting for her because you know she's corrupt. We don't want her again. So let's see what they have on the other side of the menu. Let's see, we got Cruz, he looks like a villain. Got that rich guy with the hair. Let's take the rich guy. At least he's tall and he's fairly good looking and he's going to make money for us. That's what's going to happen. They're not into the minutiae of the details. Just trust me, they're not as detailed-oriented as you are. So that's it, folks. I mean, pretty much ran into the last minute of the show. If I told you what I, yours truly, had to go through today to get the show off the ground, you'd say no one could do this at any age. Yeah, but I did it. Two of my studios were down owing to the rain. I had to drive to a third studio that I keep in. Got here, half the equipment was down. I was on my hands and knees making my equipment work. To 2 minutes before the show, cursing, screaming, yelling, I said, I can't do this anymore. The guy said, wow, what a show you did. I said, yeah, I loved it. I love crawling on broken glass again for a radio show. Why? Because the show must go on. Why? Just because, that's all. You don't want to know about the subway ride the musician took to get to that concert hall. You don't want to know about the morning. You don't want to know about the afternoon. You don't want to know about any of it. All you want to do is hear him play his trumpet. Cacao. Chocolate. Michael Savage.